businesses that sponsor our shows, Misty's, Quality Plus, Culver's, everybody that has worked with us and been on this airwaves with us over the years. I want to say a big shout out to our friends at FRM and Connie and the gang, giving us FRM Fridays like they did when they did. Big thank you to the best listeners in radio. We appreciate all you, and just want to extend that to our staff. I work with the greatest people in the world. I could not ask for a better team, every single one of them. Appreciate all you guys and the great work that you do. That's what I'm thankful for.
And thankful to our host, James Mailoff.
Thank you, James.
Who has stuck it through so much in the last several years. He's still here, everybody. He has made it through. He's still here.
We appreciate you, too,
we
James.
Do.
Nice job, you guys. You read that just as I wrote it. I did. I did notice you both. You both X'd up for the dashing. Dashing. I noticed you didn't say that part.
We're not going to go overboard.
Far.
Yeah, you know, a little bit.
Like, we don't want to inflate your head too much. We need to keep you on the ground.
Probably a good idea. Melissa, have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, you too, James.
Seth, have a good one.
You as well, my friend.
We'll be back with another morning show for you on Friday. Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody. Stick around for Money Magazine right here at, well, Heather, you say it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM, and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington.
It's a horrendous, senseless act of violence. And today we have to come around families and support them.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin responding to yet another mass shooting. An employee of the Walmart in Chesapeake went on a deadly spree, killing six people. CBS's Jeff Begay.
The so-called Walmart Supercenter was set to close about 45 minutes after the shooting began, with some customers still arriving to pick up last-minute items ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. Another man says that he was among the Walmart employees inside the store when the shooting began.
I literally walked out the break room, and as soon as I probably about no less than 5 minutes.
The suspect is dead. Busy, busy on the roadways and in the airports as 55 million Americans are heading somewhere for Thanksgiving. Our Chris Van Cleve on the travel timeline.
AAA expects the worst of it today to be between 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. If you're looking for your drive home, think Saturday afternoon or early Sunday morning are probably your best bets.
Two explosions rocked Jerusalem. This man caught them on his dash cam. The blast killed one person and wounded at least 18. Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, is in the dark. The entire region has lost power. BBC correspondent Jessica Parker is there.
The mayor of the capital city, Vitaly Klitschko, has been saying that there are several explosions and a piece of critical infrastructure has been hit. We've also heard from officials saying that a residential building, so homes, have been hit. And we've had reports of explosions in other parts of the country as well.
A new setback for Scotland's attempt to leave the UK.
The Supreme Court of the United Kingdom has ruled that Scotland cannot hold a new referendum on independence without the consent of the British government. That's a setback for Scotland's semi-autonomous government and First Minister Nicola Sturgeon. She says she will respect the ruling, but will continue to fight for Scottish independence.
That's correspondent Elaine Cobb. The FDA has approved the most expensive drug in the world. Here's CBS's Deborah Rodriguez.
HEMGENIX, a one-time infusion of gene therapy to treat potentially deadly hemophilia B, costs $3.5 million a dose. The benefits? It cuts the number of expected bleeding events over the course of a year by more than half. It also frees up most patients from regular treatments.
We are seeing a lot of Christmas tree green on Wall Street today. The Dow up 75 points, NASDAQ up 72, S&P up 14. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Do you know what people see when they Google you? Search engines don't always get it right. And when they're wrong, it's your reputation on the line. So what do you do when you don't agree with your search results? Call Reputation Defender at 800-401-6681. Reputation Defender by Norton is one of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. We have over a decade of experience in fixing people's search results, and we can help you too. Using cutting-edge approaches, Reputation Defender pushes unflattering information down to lower pages of your search results, where few people ever look. We also promote the good stuff so that it rises to the top, letting you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. You owe it to yourself to take control with Reputation Defender. Visit www.reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 for free advice on your situation. 800-401-6681. That's 800-401-6681.
Fly your team flag.
Down he goes. Another sack.
Cue up, jump around, and rep your Cardinal and white Bucky gear.
He's gone all the way.
It's Badger football.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Let's go.
Six more on the board for the Wisconsin Badgers.
Join us Saturday. It's the regular season finale against the rival Gophers. Our coverage begins at 12:30.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Highs level off around 43 this afternoon under clear skies, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 29. Overcast skies again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 42. Mainly sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 38. 46 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 26.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine for this November 23rd, 2022. 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in Callie Johnson from the ODC. Always love talking with our friends from there. Right now, we have in with us Wood County Board Chairman Lance Plimmel. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, James. Great to be here again.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And, of course, Taylor from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Shout out to you, Taylor, and the gang over there. Thanks for being here. Appreciate the time. Be sure to go to YouTube and type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like and subscribe to their page and see the great work that they're doing over there. Lance, how you been?
I'm good.
Good.
You know, through that busy budget season, life goes on. We're in that holiday season, which, you know, things slow down a little bit from our perspective, from a government perspective, and time maybe to look back, reflect over the year, and start thinking about what's going to happen next year.
We're actually going to get into that a little bit. I wanted to pick your brain about that. But as far as the budget goes, anything news or headlines out of that? Anything noteworthy?
You know, not really. You know, the one thing, ironically, you know, we have some additional spending, but due to some, you know, assessment changes and some of that, the mill rate in the county is actually going down this year, despite the fact, you know, we're building a jail and some of those other things happening. But, you know, like you at home, we're dealing with the same inflationary issues, you know, gas for squad cars and vehicles and heating, electricity, you name it. You know, think of the cost of food right now as you're putting a Thanksgiving dinner on your table and figure, we feed over 100 people in our jail three times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And there's some of those costs that you can do your best to control, but you can't just move away from. They are there, they exist, and you have to deal with it. So inflation's wreaking a little bit of havoc with that, you know, as well as the same things you deal with at home, healthcare costs and some of those others. And local units of government, counties, like those others, our hands are tied because our tax rates, our tax increases are tied to net new construction. And we tend to live in an area of the state where there isn't a heck of a lot of net new construction. So, you know, you deal with it. You can't make more widgets. You can't turn up the production line. You can't generate more money unless you raise user fees on the taxpayers who are already paying taxes. So it's an interesting time of year always.
Is it a situation where we've exhausted everything and that's it? We're just stuck like this?
There's got to be new ways and better ways to do things. And we constantly look at that, you know, both internally and externally. You know, and right now the state's taking a real serious look at property taxes and saying, is that really the way we should fund local government? And the answer is probably not. It probably should be a consumption tax of some type, sales tax and others. They're looking at revamping some of those. But, you know, in its current situation, yeah, at some point you really can't cut any further. I mean, I'm always afraid to say something in today's world of political correctness, but you know, you can't get to the point where you say, we're going to let all the roads go to gravel, or those people that we have incarcerated, well, we're just not going to feed them, or the police department's just not going to respond to calls anymore because gas is expensive.
You know what I'm saying? How dare you, Lance? Yeah. My father is a road. My dad's a road. And you're not going to – no.
Yeah, but that's – you know, those are things that you have to do. Yeah. And then you have to find – more efficient and effective ways to do that. But it's interesting every day.
Well, you know, certainly when we're in the political heart of that season and everything, you couldn't go 5 seconds without hearing inflation. And now that we're out of it, this conversation is the first time I've heard anybody talk about inflation since the political season wrapped up. But I was thinking it then, and I'm wondering now, and I've done my homework on this topic and this subject. It's not going anywhere. Things are where they are. We can hope and we can see some change here and there. Gas prices go down 15, 20 cents, things like that, little bits and bits. But the idea that we're going to go back to a day where, like, we're going to have $2 gasoline or that kind of thing, like that stuff, the best minds that understand our economy understand that we're going to get to this point eventually. The pandemic just sped things up. We all have done this where you watch TV shows and movies, you see them from the 80s or the 70s. And wow, gas was a dollar or something like that. I mean, that's just the way of the world. If that's the case, and this is where we're at, isn't it a matter of kind of figuring out what we do from here going forward and how we can make things, like, adjust to things to where they are now?
Yeah, you know, to some extent, you know, the inflation you've seen is built in, and you're right, prices are not going to go back down to where they were. They will for some commodities.
Yes.
And fuel is one that actually does tend to go up and down quite a bit, you know. Some of your grain prices, you know, mm-hmm. you see those go up and down. But a lot of that's baked in, and what you have to look at is where you're going to be going forward. You know, you cannot sustain the 8% that we have, 9% this year, in perpetuity. It just doesn't work. Now, if next year it's back down at 2% mm-hmm. Because of some of the controls the federal government puts in place, that might be doable. You're seeing home prices come down right mm-hmm. now. You're seeing it, part of that, not so much because of supply and demand, but because of interest rates and the lack of available buyers. I mean, you've crushed that to some extent. You know, the interesting part when you sit in a chair like I do or you do, I mean, you get phone calls during the day, but you know, people get criticized often, you know, when they serve in a governmental role. And I said, you know, the way to avoid criticism, you know, is to say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing.
Yeah.
You know, if you speak up, if you have a thought or an idea, it often gets criticized. And ironically, sometimes those are the best ideas, and those are the things that come to fruition. On the other hand, like anything else, if you're throwing ideas out there, if you're trying things, sometimes they fail. And I think the difference between good governance, bad governance, or those people that you would hope are in charge, or those that realize that if the decision was bad, you change direction.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem with partisan politics. Mm-hmm. I'm stuck in, this is the mindset of the party, I have to go this way no matter what. And I can tell you often here, you know, we make a decision, we go, yeah, that didn't work so hot. Maybe we ought to pivot here a little bit, go a little bit different direction and see if we can't correct it, really without worrying about what the political fallout will be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's result-driven. So, yeah. You know, that's where we are in today's world.
Yeah. I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the meetings you guys have recently had. I saw that you recently had a addressing growing public health challenges, social isolation and loneliness meeting. Susan Smith, Wood County Health Department had this and talked about it. And it's a topic that we talked about with them recently last week. They joined us and we talked about it a little bit. I saw just an opening here to topic to bring this up again and just to remind people about it, especially as we're going into a holiday. Is this something that, and I don't want to look at this as like a board issue. This isn't something necessarily that's a county or a board issue necessarily, but it is kind of not only cool, but it's great that it is a topic that is we're talking about in our community. It's something that most communities kind of just kind of dust this under the rug and everything. I'm proud of our area that we address this issue. We talk about this. Is this something that you guys on the board think of, or even it ever comes up, Lance?
Absolutely. You know, the loneliness, depression, isolation, I can say those aren't a board issue, but those people become either clients or people we deal with in the community, whether that be through crisis management or help elsewhere. That drives our discussion all the time. And when we talk about it both at, I'll put on that other hat sometimes, at the National Association of Counties level or the State Association, mental health is one of the biggest issues. You know, right now, if you said, what are the two biggest issues facing us locally? Probably child care. Mm-hmm. As it relates to returning people to the workforce, that second income earner, the ability to go out and make a living, and then mental health. And mental health is a pretty big basket of things.
Yeah.
But, you know, whether that leads to homelessness, to crime, to suicide, to some of those other things. You know, it's supposed to be a joyous time of year where you're not talking about it, but it's there.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it kind of flies under the radar. You know, if somebody said to me, does this exist? My answer is not a lot in our community. And then you go out at night or you take a ride along or somebody points it out and you go, yeah, it is there. And we do need to deal with it. And then I'll get that flip side. People say, well, what about personal responsibility? Why are you dealing with it? And the answer is those compromises that you always come up with. Because the end result, if we don't, is worse than if we deal with it immediately. And generally people, you know, just out there in the population, don't see that.
Yeah.
Until you see something happen, like one of the tragedies at Walmart yesterday or some of the other places where if you had the opportunity to deal with some of those mental health issues ahead of time, mm-hmm. you wouldn't deal with the fallout and the tremendous community cost yeah. that comes along with it.
Mental health, it bleeds into everything. No matter what we're talking about, you want to talk about taxes, you want to talk about homelessness, you want anything, it's right there in it. I would CC anybody, any conversation that Sheriff Becker and I have had, where it has been one of the main topics we talk about, because it's such a huge part of the or the why of why somebody commits a crime oftentimes. Not every time, obviously, but a lot of the time. And so many other things it bleeds into. So it's... not to say that there's a one, you know, trick solution to this or something like that. It's just one of those things that we spent too many generations not talking about this stuff. It's important that we do. My family, about a week or so ago, lost my cousin, my cousin to suicide. And it's something that has never really affected our family. My family has been through just about everything you can think of. We haven't been through this. And I come from a, on my mom's side, Jewish family. On my dad's side, typical Catholic family. We bury stuff. That's how you deal with feelings. You just bury them. I'm so darn proud of my family that they have been open about this conversation. We're talking about suicide. We're talking about mental health and everything. That I can't tell you how crazy that is in this family. It just never happens. And here we are where we're doing it. And I use it as an example because I don't think that my family's alone in that. I think a lot of American families are that way. We bury stuff or we just don't talk about it. And now that we're in a day and age where we are talking about these things and we are doing it in an open voice, very similar to domestic violence or anything else we talk about, we're not talking in hushed voices anymore. It can only the side effects can this can only be beneficial for all of us to win from this situation and to pull silver linings from these horrible moments that we experience as a society, as families, and especially going into a holiday like tomorrow, where it's all about being thankful for the things we have.
Yeah, it makes it tough when you sit around the table and you know it's really special people that work in those departments and deal with those issues. Those people, in your case, you know, became personal. I think, you know, every family at some point, somewhere, someplace, sometime experiences that sense of loss, you know, whether it be sudden that way or not. And, you know, for me, again, it's very difficult for me to wrap my arms around the fact that somebody could be that desperate, that lonely, that would be a solution. And yet the people in our human services department, our health departments, law enforcement, our dispatch centers, sometimes with the calls they get, they have to deal with this. And it, like I said, it takes special, compassionate people to be able to do that. But it does have an effect on everybody, society. Yes. And that's where, when you say, well, why is it government's responsibility? Because it's a spider web. It impacts everybody. And the cost is substantial. If you want it, the cost, the human life, that cost, but then the financial cost, that emanates from that in every direction.
We do this thing in society from time to time. The person that sits there and I hate socialism, I hate this and that. Where's my Social Security check? Where's my? You know, I mean, we do these double standard kind of things all the time of where we don't like something until it benefits us. This is a topic where you don't have to wait for it to affect you. These are the mental health subject matter is something we can all dive into and it. It many reasons, family, personal reasons, there's tons of reasons to do this. You mentioned something I think is really important to this, Lance, and the people that are working on the front lines of this issue need us to as well. Our health departments, our nurse, our doctors out there, everybody that's under that field need to support as well from a society, from a community to show that, hey, this is something we back you guys on. We're looking to support. We want to make a better world. We want to make it better for everybody. Talking about these things kind of does that.
Yeah, you know,
helps get there.
You know, for lack of, I guess, a better description, for some of these think tank groups that I sit in, you know, these are extremely important issues. And then the big question you ask yourself is, why so prevalent now? Did we sweep this under the rug 10, 20, 30 years ago? Did we not deal with it? Or is there underlying factors that have caused it? It's easy to say this is the problem and we can deal with it as it occurs. But we tend to try to dig deeper and go, why? Yeah. Why are we here today? Again, it might be the, you know, the way news is handled today. Stories quickly get out, not only nationwide, but worldwide. So maybe it's just more visible to some extent. Or maybe it gets reported because newsrooms are doing that and social media broadcasts it. But it seems to me like it's become much more regular in nature. It happens every day. And so the deeper question is, why? Mm. How did we get here? Now, you know, I got a homeless person who's got mental health issues. Well, I can deal with that. But how do all of a sudden we have tent cities, Los Angeles? Gee, some of the places I've been to recently are a mess. And Los Angeles is a mess. San Francisco is a mess. Portland is a mess. New Orleans is a mess. How did they get there? And how did they seem to get there so rapidly? What did we do? What did we either change or what happened? And that's what I don't have an answer to. So if somebody out there has that answer,
please
chime in, please.
Yeah, we'd love that. I think that especially if you've been paying attention, especially to the homeless situation there that you mentioned, something that my whole life has been in my radar and everything. You're right about some of those cities that you mentioned there getting worse with that and some of the things that are happening there. Again, we fall right back to mental health and we come right back to that and what is causing that. Are these, because realistically, the numbers haven't necessarily like overwhelmingly grown or decreased. The numbers have stayed pretty steady throughout our country's history. It's just we have more people. So, of course, there's going to be more of this group, more of that group and everything. But the tent cities, the things you mentioned there, how we're handling the situation, too, is also kind of like, well, why are we handling it this way? Or could we be handling it better? When we're talking about these subjects, to me, there are no dumb questions. There are no dumb, things that we can't dissect and see. Is this causing it? If it isn't, well, then we can at least can check that off and say, okay, it's not this. The only way we're going to fix these things is by talking about them and by, checking off, okay, that's not it. That's not it. We can hopefully, figure out more of an answer.
Well, and locally, we have great people. If you drive, one of the things I'm most proud of, somebody said, what are you thankful for? What are you most proud of in your community? You don't see a lot of it. And you don't see a lot of it because we try to deal with it early, whether it be the cities, the towns, villages, municipalities, or the county. It exists, but it does not exist in the numbers that exist in those places. And those places I mentioned are not places that I saw in the news with special cameras or something. It's places I've been. Yeah. I go to Washington, D.C., used to go to Union Station. And ironically, that was on the news recently because there was a press conference held there. But I made the comment 2 years ago, you walked in this absolutely gorgeous station filled with, tend to be high-end shops, people traveling, the Acela lines back and forth to New York, D.C. I was in there last winter. Every doorway, let me rephrase that, half the businesses were gone. Every one of those doorways within that beautiful building had homeless people sleeping on the floor. There were needles laying around. There was a homeless encampment outside the building. So it's, for whatever reason, it's a burgeoning problem. And so to go back to locally, we try to address that right away. And a lot of that gets addressed through local organizations. You hate to single them out because you're going to miss them, but you see the work they do with the women and infants, the WIC Center, some of that stuff, the Hannah Centers, the charitable organizations, the churches. I'm going to leave a whole bunch out, but
Mary's Place.
All of those organizations that reach out in our community, they can be, charitably based. They can be religiously based organizations, but they handle a lot of these that, as government agencies, we don't even deal with. Mm-hmm. So I'm extremely proud of the people we have out there.
I agree with 100% of what you just said there. You're absolutely right. The way that we handle
it. That's good because my wife will not agree with me 100% on anything for the next 4 days.
At least one person does, yes. I just to say, and I'm not countering or pushing back on what you're saying there, I will say that when it comes to bigger cities, your bigger population, every problem is, you whatever situation you think here in our area, times that by about 50.
The magnitude is different.
And I get that.
Yeah.
But I will, that... We have laundry and it piles up and you don't get it done that day. And then the next day you got 20, you know, more and more and more. Yeah. And it's the same situation.
Well, the magnitude is absolutely understandable.
But that doesn't change the fact that it's still a problem.
It's still a problem.
And
conversely, though, those cities are that much bigger. You know, so when you see it in a condensed, you know, in a very, compressed area, you go, why? So the question is, and we sit around and talk about this all the time, is how did we get there? How do we change that?
Right.
You know, is it changed through education, you know, at the youngest levels? Is it changed by the kind of education we do? If I had the answer, I'd change it already.
Yeah.
But I don't. But, you know, there's, you know, one of the things I think that we forget to do sometimes is look back at history. And, you know, every now and then, I won't say I read a ton of books, but I'll sit there and just some days and go through some of the old quotes by some of the great philosophers of time, the Aristotles and other people of the world. And you read those, and I don't think kids today, young adults, have a chance to read that stuff. And it's amazing how that resonates in today's world if you follow that advice. You know, and one of my favorite ones, for 20 years I was the finance chair and vice president of finance for the Boy Scouts in this area. And we had a program called Friends of Scouting. Mm. And it's one of the ways they fund the Cub Scout, Boy Scout programs in this area. And, you know, you ask people to make contributions. And one of the lines I used to use in that for 25 years was an Aristotle quote, and this is not exact, but it was one of those that basically said, you know, eventually you're not going to be judged by the wealth you accumulate, but by the success or failures of your children. And right. I can expand the children to, you know, anybody within the community who's younger. And if I take that and I look at that from that respect, I say, so what are you, you know, I'm going to challenge everybody out there. I had the opportunity to address a group the other day, and one of the things I mentioned to them, I said, I'm going to challenge each and every single person in this room to be a mentor to somebody, because everybody in that room was somebody of prominence within their community. And so often, you know, you go about your day's business and you do your own thing, and you forget that you wouldn't be where you were if somebody wouldn't have taken you by the hand and led you in the right direction and provided you the guidance. So I was probably talking to 1,000-plus people, and I said, be a mentor to a group, to a person, so somebody somewhere someday looks up and said, my world's a little better because somebody helped me along the way. And that's where it starts.
Just speaking of quotes, because I love quotes, you really hit me on that one. From Gandhi, a civilization is measured by how it treats its weakest members. And I think a lot of everything we've been talking about today kind of comes right back to that. And dealing with mental health, dealing with any of the issues any community deals with, especially our own here, you've mentioned and I mentioned we don't have the answers. We can get the answers together. The only way we're going to get the answers is working together, is all of us working together and all of us coming up with them together. There is no magic thing for this other than that. We either fall, individually, or we rise together. That's the only way this works. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck here, and me and you next month are going to be having the same conversation.
Well, you know, let's go back to your family tragedy. You know, suicide is devastating to families, but it's certainly not income driven. It's not success driven. I mean, you look around the country, and some of the most successful, influential people deal with these same mental health issues, which is. You know, you think that some of those things that you materially possess might offset some of those other things, and it doesn't. And so as a society, you know, we need to garner the tools to be able to identify some of those challenges, some of those things, because those same issues tend to affect you whether you're wealthy, whether you're poor, whether you're healthy, whether you're not. And sometimes it just takes somebody around you to speak up and say something. And that goes back to the first thing I said, say nothing, do nothing, be nothing. You know, sometimes you just got to speak up.
Well, that's
and help.
I don't like sharing my family's laundry. I don't like doing those things, but I also know that that's the stuff that's good. Like you just said, talking about these things is the only way. For way too long, I'm not talking about that. People might think different thing, whatever. No, that's how we got into this trouble, is by too many people not talking about these things and not sharing this stuff. Again, we're going to get through this together, or we're not going to get through it at all. So working together is how we're going to get a lot of these things figured out, hopefully. And either way, I mean, at the very least, you know, we'll have something to talk about.
As you sit around the table, I mean, we're coming up on Thanksgiving tomorrow. You know, so when you sit around the table, you know, think about what you're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what makes life great? A lot of it is family. Or extended family. They don't have to, doesn't have to be somebody you're related to. You know, I know a number of people who do Thanksgiving dinner with friends because they don't have family there, but those friends become family.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, those are the kind of things. And whether it be people you work with, people you associate with, whether it be, you know, like that old adage, you can choose your friend, you can't choose your
right,
family.
Right.
But they're usually there.
We are very appreciative of you guys and our whole board, Lance, of our Wood County, our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and everything as well. Appreciate the time as always. And you have a great Thanksgiving.
You too.
Have a good Thanksgiving, Taylor, you and yours. Have a great one. Thanks a lot for being here. We'll stick around, everybody, because we got ODC coming in here in part two of Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Game day, Green Bay and Minnesota. Place, the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoosels at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time. Go to mercyships.org today.
Hi, everyone. Listen to my show, The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. on the Shaw 101. 1 hour every weekday where we'll talk all sorts of things like politics, especially with what's going on this election season, plus a lot of other things, too. Parenting, the arts, religion, music, beer. If it matters to Wisconsin and Minnesota, we'll talk about it. Phone calls are welcome at 952-946-6205. For 1 hour each day, come see the train chimp, The Matt McNeil Show, with the aggressive progressive Matt McNeil, 3 p.m. weekday afternoons right here on the Shaw 101.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Highs level off around 43 this afternoon under clear skies, southeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows dip down to about 29. Overcast skies again tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 42. Mainly sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 38. 46 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 26.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this November 23rd, 2022, 10:34 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here, and we are joined by some of our great friends from the ODC. We have some good people with us today. First up, want to wish a good morning to Callie Johnson. Good morning, Callie.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here. And Brooke Porter is here. Brooke, good to see you.
Good morning.
I didn't even know I was going to see you today. That's great. Good to see you.
Decided to pop in.
And you guys brought, I don't want to make light of having you two here. We appreciate both of you here. But our headline here today is Albert. We've got Albert in with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here, Albert.
You're welcome.
Appreciate the time. We're not taking you away from work, are we? Wow. Giving you a break here, maybe?
Yeah,
a little bit? Good, good. Yeah, you've earned it. Callie, can we talk a little bit about Albert and what he does?
Sure. So Albert works at Milkweed Market, and many people already know him. He's been there for a year now, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he helps do everything in the store from clean to paint to
pricing
mm-hmm. all of the items. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't you just share kind of what you do at the store?
Actually, and then the pricing, the painting, and that, and
the checkout.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Process,
and then we sell cookies and that.
Hmm.
And then I ring them out with the register.
Do you greet people too, Albert?
What?
Do you greet people when they come in?
Yeah.
Okay.
But mostly when we do, we say good morning and that.
Yeah.
And then when they go out, sometimes I open the door for them if their package is too big, so they don't drop it.
That's nice. Albert, do you enjoy working over there?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Mm. Good. Good to hear. Very good to hear. Any chance we could talk about Milkweed Market, we love being able to do that. And I love meeting the people that work over there, Albert. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Appreciate you being here. I'm sure we'll talk to you again. But
all right.
Callie, you also brought in Brooke, and we have now. Brooke's not just here just to pick on me or throw things at me while I'm talking here.
But
Brooke is here because we wanted to talk about painting with a purpose, and I actually was really looking forward to this. I don't think we've really gotten a chance to talk very in depth about this too much. So let's go ahead and go right into there if you don't mind, and put Brooke on the spot. Brooke, what is painting with a purpose?
Painting with a purpose is a chance for our community to come on down to Milkweed Market and paint with some of our clients and just get to know them a little bit. Check out Milkweed Market while you're there, get to know some other people in our community and just make a really great project. Not necessarily paint a really great project. They've done other projects in the past that aren't just painting. This month though, well, our November, December collaborate due to the holidays. Hmm. So it's December 1st.
Correct.
From 12:30 till 2, and we will be doing a Grinch stealing the last ornament off the tree.
Nice.
And I'm going to be leading the class. It'll be great.
Hmm. Cool. Have you done that before?
Painted? Of course.
Led the class before.
Have I led the class?
Brat.
No, but I got to go sit in on the last one, and it was
cool.
Great. Yep. So I decided I can do that.
Sure. It should be it should be a lot of fun. Is this open to the public? Is this just for clients?
Much is open to the public. We do ask that you go online either to ODC or to Milkweed and pre-register so we have enough supplies for everyone.
Right, on Facebook. Yep,
yep,
there's
an
event
Facebook.
On Facebook that you can click either interested or going and just kind of let us know. But we do have supplies on hand. Hmm. And yes.
You could call if you wanted as well.
Okay. Is there anything that you did good to walk in? You don't need to bring your own supplies,
no,
anything like that?
No.
Just bring your smile and personality?
Bring your happy self and a want to paint and hang out and interact with some really great people, meet some new friends maybe.
Very cool. Very cool. It sounds like a lot of fun. And again, you can find out more by going to odcinc.com. Go to your Facebook page. It's there as well. Another great way to find out. Again, odcinc.com. We'll be sure to get that out there again before we wrap up today. Phone number that the ladies mentioned there, 715-424-2717, 424-27 424-2712. My dyslexia kicks in sometimes, man, I'm telling you. 424-2712. Thanks, Brooke. Appreciate that. Sounds like a really fun time for everybody to be able to be a part of.
So we'll see you there.
Yeah. I can't even draw a stick figure, okay? Like, I probably could use the class. I probably should be there, yeah.
It'd be great. Come.
When it comes to Milkweed Market, Callie, it's personally, for me, one of my favorite places to talk about, but especially not only going into a Thanksgiving where we're being thankful for so many different things, but we do have Small Business Saturday coming up on Saturday as well. And so there's plenty of reasons to get on over to Milkweed Market and to really take in the things that they got over there.
Yes, we really encourage people, especially this time of year when you're buying gifts, you're decorating for the holidays, to try to keep your dollars local, shop local. Small Business Saturday is this Saturday. And I think there's over 30 businesses participating on the Passport this year. So our Chamber of Commerce every year does the Passport program. We have them printed and ready for you in the store. And you grab one. There's bars, restaurants, gift shops, grocery. Like, there's so many a variety of businesses on the sheet. And when you shop there, you just show them your passport, they stamp it or sign it. And depending on how many places you stop at on Saturday, and actually it runs through Tuesday this year. So as you shop, you get stamped, and at the end you turn it in to your last participating business or to the chamber. And you can win prizes for shopping local. And you get good stuff along the way.
We had the chamber in last week. We were talking a little bit about this and talking a little on the morning show, encouraging people to buy local, support local, shop during this and filling out that passport. And there's it's so cool that every year we do this and we talk about more businesses or different unique businesses being a part of this. But one of the favorite things we like to mention is Milkweed Market. And I am a little biased about this one. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. But any gift that I've basically gotten my mother in the last 10 years that she's enjoyed has been from Milkweed Market. Everything else, she's cool about it. And like, oh, that's nice. You know, but I can tell. I've been able to tell after a bunch of years what she really liked. There's difference of that and her blowing up with excitement and everything. And what my mom enjoys about those gifts is a couple of things. One, certainly that they're unique, that they're, you can't find in necessarily a department store or something like that. She likes that part of it, but she'll tell you this better than I can. When she looks at these items in her house and stuff, she doesn't just see something that her oldest child got for her or something like that. She sees something that a local individual made from one of your clients there made, and that means a lot to her. We certainly have a touch with the ODC within our family, with my Aunt Pat and these things. So it just it makes it such a seasonal and more long-lasting feeling.
Right.
You open up a gift or you give somebody a gift and there's that immediate satisfaction and it feels good, that fades a little bit. I genuinely believe that the gifts that you get from Milkweed Market or that you give to people from Milkweed Market don't fade. I think that feeling just stays with you and everything. So if you need another reason to do the find the things there over Milkweed, it's one more reason. And again, just unique, wonderful gift ideas.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying all of that. We do really pride ourselves on that the products are made right there in the facility, and almost every piece is touched by an individual who we support, and there's so much meaning behind that. And when the individuals who are working in the store have painted a piece and they see it from beginning to end, they see their hard work paying off and you leaving happy with an item that they've created, it just builds so much confidence, and it's really just a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. And we'd be remiss if we didn't mention cookies, because that's really, honestly, I got to be honest with you guys, that's all I've been thinking about whole time. I have not really listened to anything anybody said. All I'm thinking is cookies. So can we please talk about cookies, Kyle?
Yes, we absolutely can.
Now, there's some really good stuff over there with that.
Yeah, so Hidden Creek Kitchen is owned and operated by ODC, and this year we are offering our everyone's favorite Christmas cookie platters. Or assortments. So this year is new. You can pre-order your assortments. I think there are six choices and between different cookie varieties or candy varieties and count wise, like how many you want or how much you want to spend. So we encourage people to go online to pre-order. And you can pick up starting November 30th, and it'll be Wednesdays until Christmas, starting November 30th.
Cool.
If you need a different day throughout the week to pick up, of course, we can arrange that. But that's kind of our plan. And we will make extras to have in the store, but we really, really encourage people to stop in to place their orders ahead of time so we can kind of gauge, you know, how many to make and that sort of thing.
I don't want to brag or show off or anything, especially in front of Albert here, but I happen to know cookies pretty darn good. This is a bit of my wheelhouse. So cookies, donuts, these are my thing. I know these things very well. The cookies over at Milkweed, just like the products over there, they're unique, they're different, they're not gonna not your everyday kind of thing always, but man are they good. Man are they are good. Just a great, and you get that, all that the stuff that I said, the feelings you get from the products over at Milkweed and giving them or receiving them, it's no different with the food, the cookies, all that stuff. It feels just as good. And you have the added bonus of sugar, which is great.
Who doesn't want that? Yeah. Yep. Some of our customer favorites, like our peanut butter melts, blossoms, powdered sugar snowballs. I don't want to get you guys like drooling here.
So
like,
hungry right
hungry.
Now.
Fudge, turtles, peanut clusters, Oreo balls. So there's going to be a huge variety, which is nice. Even if you do some baking at home of your own, and you enjoy that, this just, you could get one platter that adds to the variety of what you want to serve to your guests or your
family. Also great if you have a cookie exchange coming up and you don't actually feel like baking. Here you go.
Yes, nice, nice. That's good, Brooke. Are there any new flavors this year or any that were discontinued or anything?
You know, it says say more, so I think that they do have a few surprises up their sleeve. I don't know exactly what they're baking, but
we'll have to find out.
I'm sure you'll like it. Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong.
Just reach out and when we get to closer to that date and find out for yourself. That's pretty cool. We'll get to that and more when we come back. We're going to take a really quick commercial break, come back and wrap up things here on Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
What is dedication?
My biggest fear in the middle of my addiction was that my kids wouldn't have a father. I overdosed on heroin and I lived. And I started thinking, you know what? This isn't my story. My desire to change had finally outweighed my desire to stay the same. I felt powerless for so much of my life. It's important to me that my kids are empowered and truly believe that if they can think it, they can do it. I definitely had to become a better man to be a better father. For the first time, I finally feel like I'm exactly where I should be, where I want to be.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Bright sunshine expected this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 43. Southeasterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Overcast tonight, lows level off around 29, high of 42 tomorrow. Upper 30s Friday, much warmer on Saturday with highs in the mid 40s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 34.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on Morning Magazine here on WFHR, where we have our friends from the ODC with us. Callie, Brooke, and Albert is here. Good to see you again, Albert. Thanks again for the time.
You're welcome.
Callie, we were talking a little bit about some of the fun things at Milkweed Market, and one of the things that I always like to bring up when it comes to the ODC, or really any of our organizations like you guys out there, these products are great, whether we're talking cookies or items in Milkweed, or we're talking ink splash or anything. They aren't just great items. items or really tasty things. They are an investment. They are an opportunity for you to show that you back the ODC, that you support what they're doing over there by purchasing these things. It's essentially an investment in the ODC. And that goes even further than that when it comes to this time of year and going to the beginning of the year, really, where we're looking for people to donate. And by that, I think you can change the word donation to investment just fine. I understand that in the dictionary, they're under two different terms. Locally here in Wood County, I don't think they are. I think they're the same word. People are investing. They care about the ODC. They see the good work that you're doing. They see how you benefit the community. So to be able to give and help that out, that seems like a win-win.
Yes. Yep. It is annual appeal time. But that's a great way to put it. We are asking people to invest in our organization. ODC supports more than 1,000 people with disabilities annually, and we have so many great goals for 2023. So I'll just touch on a couple of them.
Yeah, thank you.
Your contribution would help us support over 300 individuals in our local communities who are struggling with mental health challenges. We've touched on this in prior programs, but we did open a mental health clinic. We have that support system now and are able to provide that service. So that donation would go a long way with that program. Mm-hmm. Also supporting over 400 individuals to find and maintain employment in our communities. Everywhere is hiring. We'd like to make those matches and really help businesses and individuals who we support match up and solve those problems.
Yeah.
And there are many other ways that we're going to support individuals in 2023. So we do ask for dollars to be donated online, odcinc.com/donate. But it's not just dollars, James. If people can't donate dollars, we're looking for volunteers, so people to donate their time. We have a variety of programs that we could use help with. And or supplies, like our day services pre-vote programs do lots of projects throughout the year. So just call us, email us, go to our website, check it out to see how you can invest in ODC this year.
We all nowadays want our dollar to go farther or to get our bang for our buck, if you will. I can't think of many better ways to get more out of your dollars and cents than to invest them into something that is reliable. You don't got to look at the stock market to realize that there's no stock that's reliable anymore. There's none of that. And as far as investing in that kind of stuff, I mean, good luck, man. You're almost better off putting your money in a coffee can and burying it in the backyard. With something like this, you get a return on your investment immediately, because immediately you know that that's staying right in the community. It's going to only help the ODC continue to do the work that they're doing. And Cal, did you say 400 some clients somewhere around there?
Well, that's how many
employers
we work with.
Yeah,
but
right,
we work,
right, right.
We service, yeah, we support over 1,000 people.
I figured that was
in 14 counties, so we're really growing and expanding our services to meet the demands. So.
When my family first interacted with the ODC, it wasn't even a slither of that. And to think of how much it's grown over the years, not only speaks to the ODC is doing good work, but also that the need of that work and the need that the clients are needed, that we need this and everything. And so another way to show that you support the ODC, that you support this community, backing things there and investing in the community, investing in the ODC, dollars and cents go a great way, go a long ways. Volunteering is another way. We understand that not everybody can donate money. That's completely understandable. But most of us got a couple hours to kill. Most of us can, put aside an hour or two here or there to, invest your time into the ODC as well. That can be just as much. And if I can extend it just a little bit off of this, to businesses out there that are looking for people to work in your business. Maybe the ODC has some clients that would be good for you, where they have some of the hardest, most dedicated working people you will ever meet in your life. I could be saying that about almost any Midwesterner, but then you add on the clients and that's just an extra added bonus on this with their people over at the ODC. They're great people. They deserve the work and they are going to give you it'd be some of the best workers you ever had. So if I can extend it just a little bit, like maybe you're a business that can invest in the ODC, you can invest in that way too. You know, giving the clients a place to work and that kind of thing. That's another thing to think of.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all great ways to give back. And like you said, it is an investment in our community, to an organization that's been here serving the community for many, many years, I think since 1965. Yeah. So been around a long time, growing, expanding, and just would love to connect with, you know, the community members in any way, shape, or form this year.
Kelly, if people would like to learn more how they can do that, how they can donate and everything, is there a number they can call or somebody we should direct them to?
I think that they should call the main office and be directed to the donations team.
Okay.
That's what, 715-424-2712,
424-2712. Otherwise, I see here you can email them info@odcinc.com, info@odcinc.com.
Perfect.
I also, before we let you guys go, because got about 4 or 5 minutes left here, I did want to ask about the Veterans Luncheon at the ODC and more about that.
Yes. So our ODC Men's Cooking Group is planning a Veterans Luncheon for Wednesday, November 30th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That will be held in the ODC lunchroom. It is $5 per person, but vets will eat free. Lunch provided will be chicken noodle soup or chili, and we will have some entertainment there as well. I believe Pam Ross is coming back to play some music. But yeah, so we're hopeful for that.
Pam's awesome.
And all proceeds from this luncheon, so the Men's Cooking Group just wanted to, again, give back to the community in some way, shape, or form, and this is a passion for them. So all proceeds will go to the local American Legion. So please, please come join us Wednesday, November 30th, 11 to 1. You don't have to RSVP or anything. You just show up that day and get yourself some soup or chili, enjoy some music, and give back.
I see that it's a $5 person, but vets eat free. That's cool. So we'll make sure that all our veterans out there, and a shout out to all of our veterans out there, that they're eating for free on this day. So that's pretty cool.
All they have to do is come.
That's great. A really good, and you don't need to do any register or any of that kind of stuff.
No registering. There is a Facebook event out there on our ODC page if you want to kind of learn more details and maybe put interested or going. It kind of helps us gauge, you know, how many to prepare for, but certainly just show up. We'll have plenty to serve, and that $5 will go a long way to our local American Legion.
Right. I'm glad you brought up the Facebook page and everything, because I mention all the time with anybody that's on the air with us to like their social media pages, support them. But, whenever you can, especially with nonprofits, it really does help bring awareness to their. If I see that you guys are doing this and I put a like that, I'm interested in it or that I'm going to the event, that shows up on my friends' feeds. And maybe they're not friends with the ODC, but then that shows up on their feeds and they see something that maybe they wouldn't have seen otherwise. Supporting these things really can help a lot more than we realize, and spread the word about these events much better than most of us can do. That's one of the powers of social media nowadays, so it goes a lot farther than you realize, liking those things and liking their pages and keeping up to date on that stuff, as well as it's a great page. It's a great thing to keep up on. Before we wrap up completely, I wanted to touch on it one more time, Painting with a Purpose, Brooke. Can we tell people again about that?
What do you need to know?
Repeat what you said before, basically,
Thursday, December 1st, from 12:30 to 2 at Milkweed Market. As many people as want to come. We'll have plenty of supplies, and we will paint. It's going to be the Grinch holding the last ornament he's stealing.
It's something you're not going in there. Oh, I misunderstood. I haven't done a lot of these things. So you're going in there, and there is a painting you're going to paint.
I painted a painting. I went down to Milkweed Market actually last week and painted my sample piece. And then I had some of my friends that work at Milkweed Market painting some canvases black for me, because they're really helpful there too. So we're we're ready.
Set and ready to go. Oh, that's, I like that better. Mm-hmm. It's putting me in there and like asking me like, okay, draw. Yeah. Like, I don't know what
there's
I'm going to
do. Project. Yeah, yeah, there's a sample.
Yes,
there is a project.
That's cool.
If I can do it, anyone can do it. I was debating whether it was level one or level two for me. And I'm like, you know, it feels like it's really in between. So it should be great.
One and a half. I like that, yes. Thank you, Brooke. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
And, is there directing to the website? That should be a way to find out more.
Absolutely.
Okay. Is that a registering event?
You don't have to register. You don't have to. We like people to register.
It does help.
It helps give us a little bit better of a gauge on how many are going to be there.
I always like to look at it this way. My mom, the one pet peeve she has in this world, don't show up unannounced. Mm. Just to let her know you're coming. Don't put her on the spot. It always plays in the back of my head with these events and everything. So, you know, let them know you're coming. It never hurts.
If you decide the last second that you want to come and paint with us, come down.
Yes,
we will
come.
Have supplies for
and
you.
And it's free.
And it's free, which is
we supply everything.
Yes.
Showing up late or showing up early, all that matters is that you show up. We
want
you there.
Absolutely.
We appreciate you guys showing up. Appreciate what you do in our community so very much. And Albert, again, thank you so much, sir, for being here. Really
You're
nice
welcome.
To meet you. Really appreciate the time, Albert.
Can I say something?
Please do.
Here?
Yeah.
I hope.